Hi everyone, I hope you are well. I'm going to give a teaching on giving God thanks tomorrow, the 7th of August. But the teaching I'm going to be giving is Communion Sunday. It'll be a lot shorter than what I'm going to give now, even though I'm not going into too much detail on this. This topic is a closing subject on the subject of giving thanks. We've been dealing with since July and also in August. This last of a 5-week teaching is about giving God thanks. Okay, so without any further ado, let me just get into this teaching and hopefully it'll be a blessing to you. I'm going to start off by talking about 5 reasons to give thanks. Number one, we give thanks because God is good. That's why we give thanks. It's one of the reasons. Psalm 107 verse 15 says, "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works toward the children of men." The second reason we should give thanks is because we are told to give the Lord thanks in the Word of God. So, Psalm 92 verse 1 says, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High." So that's the second reason, because we're told to give the Lord thanks. And by the way, when the Lord tells us to do anything, it's not because he just wants it for, you know, himself and all that's it. There's always a blessing at the end of the commands and instructions of the Lord. So if God is telling us to give him thanks, there is always a blessing that is attached with that command that he's given us. Okay, the third reason to give God thanks is thanksgiving is a bridge to the manifestation of our requests. And we see that clearly in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. It says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known or be made known to God." So you have your requests on one side, and then you have the answer on the other side. And in between your requests and the answer, you are told to bring your requests with thanksgiving. So that thanksgiving part is the faith part. So we're coming to God and we're asking him for end results, but we're also thanking him for the end result before we receive it. It is a bridge to the manifestation of our requests. And like I've always taught over the years, that's the faith part of our application of giving God thanks. We're thanking him for the thing before we receive it. And so it is a bridge to our manifestation. The fourth reason we should be thankful is for giving us a victory. We should be thankful to God for giving us victory. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 2 verse 14, "Now thanks be to God who always leads us into triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place." It's one of my favorite scriptures because right here we're seeing a number of things, okay, which I won't have time to go into all of them, but I will point this one out. Now, it says, "Now thanks be to God who always leads us into triumph." God always leads his people into victory. Victory is ours before we see it. Victory is ours before the manifestation. And once again, it's a faith thing. So we've got to perceive before we can receive. We've got to perceive ourselves having that victory before the manifestation of that victory, because Christ always leads us through into triumph, into victory. And the verse continues to say, "And through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place." And I love that, because there is a fragrance that a believer carries. And as we're giving thanks, that fragrance of God's knowledge is released, because what we're doing is we're doing something that the Word of God tells us to do. A believer who has the Word of God in his or her mind and heart, okay, when it is spoken, when it is taught, when it is released from that individual, a fragrance is released. And that fragrance, by the way, is a sweet smelling savor that goes right up to the Lord. So the fragrance of His knowledge is released from the believer in every place that we go, because we are kingdom citizens. We are sons and daughters of the living God. Amen. The fifth reason we should give God thanks is thanksgiving establishes our faith. Colossians 2 verses 6 and 7 says, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving." So, as we know that faith is given to every believer, Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, to each man is given a measure of faith. We also know from Hebrews 11 verse 6 that without faith it's impossible to please God. So if we're going to live a life pleasing to God, we've got to first of all recognize that God has given us a measure, or the measure, of faith. And now what we've got to do is apply that faith to our living. And as you're doing that, the scripture says here, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Okay? And as you do that, your faith is established. And so, five results now of giving God thanks. As I said, these teachings, I can't go in depth because of time, but hopefully you'll get the idea. You can look these scriptures up for yourself and others that the Bible gives us. So, five results of giving God thanks. When I decide to give God thanks and doing it from, a genuine place in my heart, it does five things. Well, more than five, but I'm listing five here. Number one, it draws the presence of God. And we can see that in 2 Chronicles 5 verse 13. You see God's people gathered together there. And we see what happens when praise begins to happen and thanksgiving is offered to God. We see that God comes down in a cloud of glory. And we see this again in 2 Chronicles 20. When people began to praise and began to worship and began to thank God, we see that once again the cloud of glory just came down. And in 2 Chronicles 20, it was so thick and so much that even the musicians couldn't play anymore. So the first result of giving God thanks, when I decide to give God thanks, it draws the presence of God. Now, God is everywhere, we know that. Okay, but also God is also, because He's omnipresent. So God is everywhere. Okay, there's not a place where God is not. But that's not what we're talking about here when we say draw the presence of God. We are talking about the intensified personal or corporate, if you're in a church setting, presence of God. You can be in a church service and then suddenly you can sense and you can know when the presence of God has increased in that particular point of the service, whether it be through the preaching of the word, whether it be through our worship, our praise, our giving thanks, whether it be through our fellowship together. There is a moment, a time when we can sense the intensified presence of God, and this happens when we give God thanks. Okay, it draws the presence of God. Number two, the second result of giving God thanks, it prepares the way for a merry or a light heart. Isaiah 51 in verse 3 says, "For the Lord will comfort Zion," that's you and I, "He will comfort her waste places, He will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy, gladness will be found in it, thanksgiving and the voice of melody." So no matter what your situation, no matter what you are going through, if we just fix and keep our eyes fixed on the Lord and keep our words, our mouth, thanking Him, not for what you are going through now, but picture yourself. As I said earlier, you've got to perceive before you can receive. It was William Blake, a 16th century English philosopher, who said a man cannot receive until he first perceives what God has prepared for him in the spirit. So you've got to perceive yourself, okay, being where or receiving what God has for you. And right now in this verse that I just read, Isaiah 51 verse 3, It says the Lord will comfort your waste places. The Lord will make your wilderness. You may feel like you're barren. You may feel like you're in a desert place. You're in a waterless place. You may feel like you're in an unproductive place. But the good news is that the Lord can turn that around. Hallelujah. We serve a God of the turnaround. And He says in His word that He will turn the situation around and make us, rather than being like a wilderness or like a desert, but he will make us like the Garden of Eden and the Garden of the Lord. And joy and gladness will be found in it. Thanksgiving and the voice of melody. God is good. The third result of giving God thanks is simply this: multiplication, increase, and glorification follow those who are thankful. Multiplication, increase, and glorification follows those who are thankful. Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 19 says, "Then out of them shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of melody of those who make merry. I will multiply them, and they shall not diminish. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small." So your days may be small, your beginning may be small, but we serve a God of multiplication. We serve a God who knows what He's doing. We serve a God, and we see it right through Scripture, who uses the few, the little, to accomplish great things. We serve a God who says, "Hey, little with me, okay, is much in my hands. And I am able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that you ask or think, according to the power that works in us." So God is able to do great things in and through us. So do not look at the little that you have. Give it to God. Make your focus God. And watch and see God enlarge your territory. Watch and see God multiply you. And the Bible says, "I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small." The word glory in the Old Testament is the word kavod, and it means to make, to be heavy, to make weighty. Okay? It also means to shine bright. And so, again, our God is saying here that "I will glorify you. I will make you heavy, you weighty. You won't be a lightweight in this world. The people may look at you and treat you like that, but God says, no. Whoever I promote, whoever I make a heavyweight, it's a substantial thing. And God can use you and will use you in Jesus' name to accomplish great things. So He says, "I will glorify them. I will make you bright. I will make you shine. I will make you heavy." Like I said, not a lightweight, but heavy. And God will use you to accomplish great things. You may look in the mirror and you may say, "Oh, I look so simple." But you're not so simple. You're a child of the living God. And there is more to you than meets the eye. So never ever look down on yourself. That's an insult to God as well as yourself, by the way. So that's the third reason for giving God thanks: multiplication, increase, and also glorification. Now, the fourth reason, the fourth result of giving God thanks is this. In Matthew 15:36, we see a provision follows a thankful heart. This is a story, you can look it up and read it, where Jesus blessed or gave thanks over the 7 loaves and 5 fish that was collected, and He used it to feed, the Bible says, 4,000 men. Okay, so it wasn't just men that were fed. Women and children were also fed. But the men were counted, and the Bible says it was 4,000. Okay, it says 4,000 men besides women and children. So Jesus blessed it and multiplication happened. He blessed it and it was multiplied. And that's another reason for giving God thanks. When you give God thanks, He blesses you and He multiplies you. Ha, what a beautiful God we serve. The fifth reason for giving thanks to God is to avoid becoming futile in our thoughts and to not have a darkened heart. Very important. to avoid becoming futile in our thoughts and to not have a darkened heart. Okay, so Romans 1:21 says this about this fifth result of giving God thanks. Although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. So you see, when we give God thanks, okay, we prevent our hearts from becoming darkened. When we give God thanks, okay, we're doing it from a place of gratefulness and knowing Him, and also, you know, out of our experience. And by the way, you just don't wait to receive before you give God thanks. You thank Him for who He is. You thank Him for what He's done before. You thank Him for what He's doing for you, even before you receive what He's doing for you. You give God thanks. Okay? Why? Because we know Him and we trust Him and we believe Him. And when we do that, we're glorifying Him. The Bible tells us about, very quickly, about, you know, talking about glory. I just spoke about it a while ago and I said the Hebrew word is kavod. And when we, previously we just mentioned about, so looked at a scripture that talks about God glorifying us when we give God thanks. But there is also scriptures that tell us and teach us and show us that when we glorify God, right, using that same word kavod, when we glorify God, we make Him weighty, we make Him heavy. All right, the Bible says, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You feel heavy? Put on praise. I dare you to praise God. I dare you to thank God. And then you suddenly see the atmosphere changes. Things begin to change. And the problem may still exist. The problem may still be there. But suddenly now there's a lightness in the atmosphere. There's a change that you sense in the atmosphere. And that's happening because you are applying God's law in your life. And you are taking a scriptural law and putting it into action in and around your life. Okay? And one of the things you're doing is when you thank God, when you praise God, you are clothing Him with your praise. You're making Him heavy. You're making Him weighty. Okay, and that's what the Bible means. When you glorify God, you are making Him shine brighter in your life, in your circumstances. And that's one of the reasons when we do that, we sense a change in the atmosphere. Why? Because God is glorified. God is glorified. And everything is brighter in the spiritual realm. As I said, it's still there. The problem may still be there in the natural, but not for long in Jesus' name. And when we continue in praise and continue to do what God says and wait on Him while we're doing what we're doing, God will show up and do what He does best. Because God knows how to rescue us and how to save us from our situations. Let me give you five tips in giving God thanks. Number one, use your lips. It may sound funny me saying this, but many a time I see individuals at the moment and the chance they have to praise God and to thank God, they don't do it. I mean, they sometimes just stand up with their hands lifted but not saying anything from their lips. And it's so important for us to use our words, use our mouth to bless the Lord and to thank Him. I just spoke about changing atmospheres, and John 6:63 says that our words that we speak, they are spirit and they are life. They're not just words. They are spirit, because it's coming from a spirit being. You and I are spirits. And it is life. It changes things. It changes the atmosphere, right? Because we are spirit. And when we speak God's word, which is spirit, when we speak our words, which is spirit, it's coming from a spirit and it's affecting the spiritual atmosphere that surrounds us. Okay. So we need to use our lips. Okay. So let's look at a scripture. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 15 says, therefore, by Him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. So we must use our lips, our mouth, our words to thank Him. Tip number two, use your free will. God has given every single one of us a free will. Leviticus 22 verse 29 says, and when you offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord, offer it of your own free will. God will never force you to do anything against your will. The Holy Spirit will prompt you, will teach you, will show you. But at the end of the day, the decision is going to be yours. So we've got to use our free will to give God thanks. Tip number 3, have the right attitude. So important. Ezra chapter 3 verse 11 says, "And they sang responsively, praising and giving thanks to the Lord." So, you know, while the priests were before the congregation, and the priest gave an order or gave a command, and the Bible says here that they sang responsively to whatever was said to them of by the leaders. They responded and they in praise, and they responded in thanksgiving to the Lord. Why? Because they had the right mindset to do so. And we've got to have the right mind. When we're told or instructed to lift our hands during worship, lift your hands during worship. Don't keep it down. Use your free will to do what is said of you. In my old church, I wasn't just an elder, but I was also a worship leader. And there are times, I know this from experience as well, there are times when our worship leaders will just instruct us to do something. And if we just look and say, well, they're telling me to lift my hands, I don't feel like lifting my hands because my hands are tired or whatever else. You know what? Your hands will continue to be tired. And nothing will happen. And perhaps the breakthrough that you could have had, you won't have it. Because you're there, not using your free will, and not having the right attitude to respond correctly, like the children of Israel did in Ezra 3, we just read it. Okay, and so therefore the blessing that is attached to that command, remember what I said earlier, you can miss it if you're not careful. Okay, the Bible says again that they sang responsively, praising and giving thanks to the Lord. At times, I know that sometimes when I say to people, I used to say to people, lift up your hands and worship God, or just put your hands together and give the Lord a praise. You know, sometimes that's inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's not just the person telling you to do it. They're inspired by the Holy Spirit to give that command so that when you respond, the blessing now, or the manifestation of whatever God has for you in that moment begins. But when we do not respond, or when we do not have the right attitude, then as I said, if we're not careful, we can miss that blessing. And I don't want you to miss it. So folks, tip number 3 is have the right attitude. Have the right mindset. Think right. Not your will, but God's will be done. Tip number 4. Be thankful amongst God's people. Come into the house of God. And be thankful. Say, I'm going to the house of God. I'm going to have a thankful attitude. Psalm 35:18 says, I will give you thanks in the great assembly. I will praise you amongst many people. Psalm 100 verse 4 says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Psalm 95 verse 2, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms, okay, or songs. Now, I've just quoted 3 scriptures. There are so much more in the Bible where, you know, God is telling us that this is what we need to do. Praise God and thank God amongst his people. So we've got to enter into the gates of the house of God, okay, again, with the right attitude and with the determination that no matter what, I'm going to join in with God's people, no matter what's going on in my life, and I'm going to give God thanks. Hallelujah. Tip number 5, give thanks regularly. Don't make it a once a week thing. Don't make it a once every so often thing, but do it regularly. Daniel and knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. So he just didn't pray. You hear people quote these scriptures. They talk about Daniel prayed 3 times a day. Yeah, he did. But he also gave God thanks. as was his custom since early days. That's Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10. So should we. We should not just pray daily, but we should also give God thanks regularly. So important. Colossians 2:7, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Colossians 4 verse 2, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with prayer. Now, I want you to, I'm going to give you some scriptures here now to sort of help you and to warn you. Now, we all know that there is a devil. We all know that he is out for the believer. We all know that he doesn't want us blessed. We all know that he is out to set traps and to set tricks and to use whatever devices he can to get us off the path of obedience and into the path of disobedience. Okay? And so we've got to guard against that. Now, John 10 verse 10 says, the thief, who is the devil, does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Now, we've got to know his strategy. Mark 4:15 says, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their heart. So what is Satan's strategy? Once the word of God is preached, you can even, I can bet that if, you know, straight after you listen to this, okay, because I'm giving you God's word, the enemy will come immediately to steal away that word, because he knows that once a believer takes that word, sows it in their heart and then acts on it, that there's nothing he can do about that believer, because God has set us up, as we've seen earlier, for victory. So as we do what God says and obey God's word and obey his commands, then we will see victory in our lives. Yes, you will have fights. Yes, you will have struggle. But don't make that your focus. Make God and his word your focus. And watch and see what God will do. The enemy wants to come and steal away the word. So you've got to hide it in your heart. The psalmist said, thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Now, James chapter 4 verse 7 tells us something else. It says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Remember the temptation of Jesus? Three times he came to him. Three different levels of temptation. And three times Jesus used the word of God, to overcome him. And even so, that's how we resist. We resist by using the word of God and the status that God has given us, a victorious status, a triumphant status, sons of the living God. We've got authority. Luke 10:19 tells us that. We've got authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt us. So we've got to learn to use that authority that God has given to us. And when we do that, we're fulfilling James 4 verse 7, which says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. So we need the word to resist. No word, no victory. No word, no resistance. You cannot just resist him in the flesh. You need to use the power of God's word to overcome. Let's look at another verse here. Matthew 6:31. It says, therefore, take no thought. Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? Okay, because for after all these things that Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. I'm reading from Matthew chapter 6, verse 31, 32. This is what verse 33 says. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye what? First. Not last, not second. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, right standing with God and man, and all these things shall be added to you. Again, Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. And I've got on my screen, schools out. And that stood up in my spirit when I read it. Schools out. And let me read what it says from the Message translation. It says, Colossians 2, 6 and 7, the Message translation says, "My counsel for you is simple and straightforward. Do what you have been taught. School's out. Quit studying the subject and start living it. And let your living spill over into thanksgiving." Some of us, we just study the subject. We study the word, but we don't put it to work in our lives. Now, James 1:22 says, "Be ye doers of my word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." So deception is found in thinking that it's okay just to hear the word, but not to apply the word to our daily living. So we're seeing there, and we're seeing also here, that we've got to start living it, the Bible says. "And let your living spill over into thanksgiving." I love this verse. School's out, man. School's out. So when school's out, what does that mean? It means school's closed. When school is closed, there's no more teaching. There's no more studying. There's no more learning. Okay? And there has to be a point in our lives. This is what the verse is saying. Stop just studying. You're coming to church, you're hearing. Now is the time to do. School's out. Now we've got to put into practice what we've been taught. Everything that we've been hearing, we've got to put it into practice in our lives. And may God help you, and may God help me in our endeavoring to please Him and to extend His kingdom. So God bless you as you determine in your own heart that the gifts and the talents that you have, you are going to put it to use. That you are going to, if I should go over the T's, that you are going to spend your time, the 1,440 minutes that you have per day, you're going to give more of that to God. That you're going to give more of your talents to God. That you're going to tithe. That you're going to use your gifts, okay, to God. And that you will also, if I'm going to use this scripture from Colossians 2, that you're going to spill over into thanksgiving. And may God bless you, and may you see increase in your life as you serve Him and give to Him more and more, and become thankful even more as the days and the weeks go on, and as we should tarry. Now is the time, folks, for us to act and put into action what we've been taught. God bless you as you do so, and I look forward to hearing testimonies from you. God bless you.